Well, I say it again. Our services increasingly are becoming more powerful and more spiritual and more wonderful. And which is the evidence of a building presence of the Spirit. I was thinking, you know, that a number of times that God said, referring to Jesus, he said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." We see that in a number of places. And when Moses, back in Deuteronomy, prophesied and said that God is going to raise up a prophet like unto him from among the people. And then he says, and when he comes, hear him. And up to this point, you know, the Bible says that the law and the prophets were until John. So up till Jesus came, which is a new dispensation, people were under the law. But once the law came, and it says it was abolished, and now they're under the law of faith, which is a different thing. Well, there's a scripture in Hebrews 11, verse 3, it says, and you know what? For a long time I didn't stop it where it was supposed to be stopped. It says, by faith we understand that the worlds were created by the word of God. But you know what? It's just like in the beginning in God. You know what? You can stop there real easily. Because in the beginning, God. That's what we had. And so here, by faith we understand. And I realize something, that the children of God understand by a substance called faith. It says, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so, there's a realm of understanding that bypasses the intellect. We understand, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. There is something that bypasses our natural understanding so that we are ushered into the realm of the Spirit. So by faith we understand. And you know what's happening? As we take in this word, Jesus says, the words that I speak, they're spirit and they're life. As we take these words into our system and isolate these words so that we're not taking anything else in, like Smith Wigglesworth, you know, he said he wouldn't even allow a newspaper in his house. As he only had the word of God taken into his system, he became what was called the apostle of faith. He was called the one book man. And he raised a number of people from the dead. I shouldn't say he did. God did through him. But he had a substance that was called faith. And somebody was talking to me, maybe it was either Tim or Joel, just recently, about the fact that, maybe it was Tim, that Smith Wigglesworth was sent, somebody died, and he was sent to raise a person from the dead. It was Tim. And anyway, and so he picked the fellows a little smaller than him, so he picked him up and he set him up and he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, walk. And he slumped down. And so he said, I didn't tell you to fall down. He said, I told you to walk. And he picks his body up. The man's dead. And he said, I said, in the name of Jesus, walk. And the man slumped back to the ground. When would you give up? And a third time, this is a story verified by quite a few people, he picked the body up and he said, I didn't say fall down. I said, walk in Jesus' name. And he started to walk. The man came back to life. And he had such a relationship with God through the word that he had a faith substance that I want. I didn't say that I have. I say that I want. I want to understand by faith. Faith comes by hearing, and that by the word of God. Not Keith Gunn's rendition of it. Not my private interpretation of it. Faith comes by hearing the truth of this word. And so, God is getting us to a strange place. I keep thinking, you know, I'm getting old, but at the same point, I'm not. My spirit is not, and my heart is not, and my attitude is not. My body, yes, but not inside. I'm a young person inside. Lord. As a matter of fact, you see a little grandson of Charlie's walking around, and that's my age. That's who I am. And I can't get any older than that. I'm young in the spirit realm. And so the Bible says, except we become, except. It doesn't say you could if you want to. Unless we become converted and become as that little child. We can't even go to heaven. We can't see heaven. We can't visualize heaven. We can't relate to heaven. And so, what is a substitute then for the intellect? Why does God hide things from the wise and the prudent and reveal them to babes and sucklings? Why does he do that? Because he wants us to have a substance that we understand by faith. You know what's happening to me? I'm starting to understand that this word is actually God's word. It's not just something that was put together by a bunch of loonies, I don't know what else to call them. People have called them that, oddballs that ran around and kind of wrote down this and wrote down that. And I tell you what, anybody that's read the scriptures knows that there's a sequence to it. There's a consistency to it. It fits. And you read the Old Testament, it prophesied about the New Testament, and then there came a point when it says, and it was set aside in view of the new covenant that we have with through Jesus Christ by faith. And so I'm excited. And I have been hearing things that would excite an old guy with a young heart. I'm hearing testimonies and exhortations and understanding is coming out. See, the thing that God wants us to do, he didn't want you to go and stand on the street corner and start preaching when you only got half of the information. He wants us to understand. But you can't understand with this. You understand by a substance called faith.
Lord, yes.
Which I'm finally beginning to understand what that is. By faith, we understand that the worlds were formed and created by the Word of God. I believe that. The same Word that has been left to us, that God has carefully kept intact. And even so, it would appear some of the translations have changed things. Not really. The vital issues of the Scriptures are confirmed over and over and over in all of the mainline translations. I used to be kind of a King James addict. I'm not. I like the King James, but I'm not. Because what I did, I began to look into some of the other translations in major things. There's some insignificant issues that it doesn't, and that's what people find. They find these little insignificant things, and then they find points of argument, and they say, well, the Bible doesn't agree with itself. We find discrepancies. You know what? Not really. There's not any discrepancy in the main things that we need to know. God has kept them intact in all of the translations. There could be some wild, weird, and strange ones out there, but as far as the mainline ones that we know, I can't find any difference.
Well, I was wondering if what I'd been reading would be fitting for today, and it fits right in. It's Of course, I'm still back in Ephesians because I didn't go the whole chapter last week. I was sitting here, and I really got ministered to this morning during the song, whatever. I sat, and all of a sudden I was listening to this music, and it was saying some things about the presence of the Lord. And I just started thinking how wonderful it is if you can experience His presence. I mean, I started remembering times when I'd have to pull off if I was in my vehicle. You know? And other times, still able to drive, but weeping, you know. I mean, those are things that they're just treasures you don't forget. So some of my thought this morning was going, because I read some scriptures here, and it said some things, and I thought, nope, that can't happen if you want to stay in your natural mind. Nope, that can't be true if you don't believe it can be. And it's like, and it has to do with like how much, what when we get truth and the fullness of the Spirit. And I started thinking, see, you can say, well, you know, we're probably not worthy to be filled with the Spirit like Jesus was. Well, I rebuke that. Because that's you, your natural self, making a distinction.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Did Paul think that he'd ever see the third heavens and things that were unspeakable in his natural mind? No, I don't. Not even close. Did Philip think he'd run up to a chariot and give a testimony? The man gets baptized, and then all of a sudden he's somewhere else? Did Stephen write out his whole exhortation before he was stoned and saw the Son of Man at the right hand of God? I don't think that was in his natural mind, do you? And what does it say that he will renew? He said, your old body is dead, but be renewed in the spirit of the new mind. That's not exactly how it's said, but... And, well, actually, I might be able to read it here if I get that far, but... Yeah. So anyway, in Ephesians... And I did read some of this, but I'm going to read as it goes on a little farther, and I'm in chapter 3. And I don't know, and I probably won't ask a show of hands, I don't know if it bothers some people that I've said, well, I went to the bottom where the little A, and I read this. And see, because, you know why those are there? Because in the beginning of this translation, it's the manuscripts they used. And then they determined, for whatever reason, which one might be in the bigger print. You know, could be biased a little bit of how they thought. I don't know. I don't care. Because I know the Spirit gives the truth. And some of these, if you go with what it does down there, fits better, you might say, and flows with what's being given in the regular text. So, I'm going to start in verse 8. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things. Now, here it does say, through Jesus Christ. And then, know what I mentioned last week? It doesn't say that. It just ends with God who created all things. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. You know, and see, sometimes, and I'm going to keep doing this, I am going to emphasize who is all in all, all in all. And for me, that is God my Father. But I don't know any of that except that because of Jesus Christ. And you know, why do you think He kept doing everything? Why did He suffer? Why was He persecuted? Why did He do all the things He did? Because of a love for His Father. Is that what we want?
Yes.
Is that why we want to be in Christ? Is that why Paul wanted to know all those things, to go through tribulation and everything else? Yes. See, that's, it's not, yeah, I'll just stop there. According to the eternal part, which you have, okay, in whom we have. Therefore I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. And for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father. And this is another one where in the other manuscripts, this next part isn't there. It says, of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. But here's why possibly it's not in the other one. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. Now listen, see, because that's God. He does all this. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, depth, and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God.
Glory.
Do you want to say, no, I don't want that? Because we do say that. Because we doubt that that could happen. If God, see, and what I'm beginning to find out is, it doesn't matter who I am or you are. If God wants to do it, He'll do it.
Right.
He can do anything. Anything with anyone that He wants. So I and how many times I may hear in my mind and whatever that I'm not worthy doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If He has a plan and He wants it done. But I do have to agree, sooner or later, that He can do that. And it's not up to me to define what the fullness of God in me is, or you. You know? It just says it's possible. And you know what? How do you accept that? By what Keith just said. Faith. See, faith does away with carnal, does away with flesh. You know, sees things that aren't seen. It knows that by the Spirit, anything is possible. I was going to see where it maybe. Well, in one of the ways it says for us to get there. Okay. I'm going to read like 11, and it says, He Himself gave some to apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith. Is that where this world is today? Church world? You know? And of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children. That doesn't take away what we know and Keith just said, that I want to be that little child that keeps wanting to know what his Father has for me. tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But here's what we want. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. Now, I could go on a big thing here about the Godhead, but if you can grow up into Christ, I don't know, you decide what He is or what. You know, I'll leave it at that. But I know some of what I think. I can't grow up into the head of Christ if He's a God. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Says that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles in the futility of their mind. See, that's what happens. If you're in your mind trying to understand the things of God, it's futile. You know? You don't get there. You don't get there. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling what really should be in their heart from what they have known of God, seen of God, have given themselves over to lewdness to work out all uncleanliness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If you indeed have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. So, and then it says, yeah, here's where I wanted to get to. That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to who? God, in true righteousness and holiness. So, I have to keep reminding myself daily that this flesh that keeps having me do things I don't want to do is dying, and this new man is being created. Amen. You know, and it looks to me like it's hopeless sometimes, you know. But see, by faith, I have to believe God says it. No, anything is possible.
Yes.
So I know somehow He's going to get me through this, get you through this,
yeah,
and get us to where we need to be with power. And, you know, I can't. I mean, that's why I do need to know Christ without a doubt. Otherwise, I am not going to become what's pleasing to the Father, because He was the only one that was really, truly pleasing. And God said, because of that, I'm going to set you over. So you got to hear these words. I'm going to set you over all powers, principalities, kingdoms. But I made you the head of the body. And who is the body? It's us.
Yes.
So we're not deity, but we're one with Christ. Why do you need to be one with Christ? Because He's one with the Father. And like He says in John, that we might all be one. I believe that.
Yes.
I do believe that can happen. And I believe that's what He's trying to make happen. And you can't have it without this Word of God and truth. And you have to be able to admit that you don't have the truth. And that maybe the deceitfulness of men's minds have given us some wrong doctrines and wrong thoughts, you know? So, to have the mind of Christ. And I know that it keeps just coming back into my mind all the time. We need to know that when He says, I came in my Father's name, That means something.
Yes, it does.
Because what I'm starting to feel myself is, God has had a certain name about himself. And one of the main factors is salvation, Savior. And he has passed that name down. He's given that name in different, however you would say, language or whatever, all the way through the Bible. Tell Jesus. And so, and it said there, the Father who was over all things, we are in his name. You know, he is the one through his Son. And that's who we got to know him. And that's part of the mystery, I think. But when you start figuring out, I mean, seriously, now if you, you know, there's a lot of accusations been made and people killed for wanting to say that there's one God. But you know what? Stop and think about it. Read the Bible. What they're saying lines up. If you start using a term that's never been put in the Word, who is changing this word?
Not God.
Yeah, I mean, if it's not there, it's not there. You can't put it there. You know? And when everything else is saying the same thing throughout, there's, I bet you there is thousands of verses.
Yeah.
That distinguish. But yes, you won't see them if you don't ask God as a little child to reveal it to you. See, that's the other mystery. You know, it says, this word of God is preached to the glory of some and to the actual damnation of others. It's whether or not you want to hear it. And if you just, with humility, bow before him and say, Lord, you know, whatever this guy's saying right now, I don't know. And this is, that's what I did. Keith was saying things 15, whatever years ago it was. And I went, oh, no, is this another man bringing something like we've gone through and whatever. And I kept listening, but he kept saying the Word of God, the Word of God. And finally I thought, well, how could it be wrong to listen to the Word of God? And then I went, Lord, I don't care what he said. I don't care what any other man has taught me in my life. I want to know what you want to teach me. And how can you go wrong at that place? That's exactly where you have to go. I mean, however you do that in your own, you know, self, that's the place you got to come to. Lord, teach me. And you know what? You got to have faith to believe that his word says that he says he will do that. That might be your little step of faith that gets you into this true word of God. Because, yeah, it's just printed words on a page for the most part. And you could read a lot of it and live a good life, but you will not gain eternal life. Unless you start hearing the spirit of the word, which is also the mystery, that he can do that. He can make these words come to life by spirit.
Boy, Ken brought some excellent things there, didn't he? One thing, there in Ephesians, and I ought to read that book of Ephesians, shouldn't we? But anyway, Ken was referring to the process by which we are ended up being in the fullness of God. In the fullness of God, he's... Well... What more could Jesus be than have the fullness of God? What more could anybody? That's it. There's nothing fuller than the fullness of God. You know? And there's nothing more God than the fullness of God. And yeah, it Ken's right. In your natural mind, rule that out. That's total foolishness. But you know, we're called to be fools for Christ. But yeah, no, that makes no sense. No sense. No sense. Nothing. You know, we here I've been at this for 36 years, you know, for a long time, more than half my life, a lot more than half my life. And thrashing around with issues about the spirit man and the flesh man and so forth. And finally gaining some perhaps hard-earned understanding of a sort, you know. And, you know, some kind of final something. And then, lo and behold, it's all spelled out right there in the book of Ephesians. What a, this whole thing. I didn't know that was in there. You know, the whole end of the whole deal is spelled out real clearly. You know, it's just very remarkable how we can read things and it doesn't sink in until it just doesn't sink in until you're equipped for it or something. I don't know what the until is. Until the Spirit reveals it, I guess, or something. I don't know. But the mind is blinded or whatever. The Lord puts a veil or something. And so the words just, I don't know what happens, but they don't sink in. Anyway, boy, it's good. It really is good.
We get some strange concepts, and I say we're like a computer, but I don't know much about a computer, so. But we get programmed, and you are programmed. The Bible says, "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." And but how do you think in your heart? I mean, isn't this what you think with? Why does it say, as he thinks in his heart, so is he?
Funny thing to say.
And I'm coming to the realization that what it's talking about is we become something through a long process of time. I can't think of how this little poem is. We had one, and I think we had it in the kitchen or something, but it says, and this woman says, and lo and behold, I am my mother. Of course, have you ever see this thing? Well, the reason that you're like your mother, I mean, besides being, you know, out of the seed that was in her, what happens is you are influenced on a constant basis by your mother. And Joe and I were talking about this just as we went over fishing for a couple of days, and the fact that we gained a lot of certain characteristics from our mother because we were there all the time. And then you go to school and you begin to be trained in a certain way, or you go to a church. You know, I started out in the Church of Christ, which is kind of a fundamental church, and I gained, I shouldn't say gained, but I had a lot of certain things that were part of me in that from that church. Then went to another one. I inherited some of the characteristics of that church. And we become and we inherit certain things as we grow. And so when the Bible says in Isaiah that it's line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, of course it is. You don't fall off a log and become something else because you hit your head. You know what I mean? There's a process of time that it takes to become something. And so when I was told supernaturally, which has totally transformed my life, that what I needed to do was to isolate myself to the Word of God and drop these other things that I was so familiar with, that had been so much a part of me, it made no sense here. There was something about it that caused me over the years. I mean, I remember hearing a number of men that had said, I've been asking God to give me a greater love for the Word of God than for food itself. And that's registered, stuck with me. I've thought about that over the years. But when I heard this, had this experience, and it turned me to the Word, little did I realize what would happen to me or that it would take 15 years. Let me tell you, I'll be real vulnerable here. I thought the disciples were with Jesus 3.5 years. And then they were supernaturally powerhouses for God through the book of Acts and later. So I thought, 3.5 years. That was a figure in my mind that I had. 3.5 years. Well, 3.5 years came and went. You know what I mean? And 10 years came. And now it's been 15 or 16 years that I've been listening to the Scriptures. But let me tell you something. Even though the kingdom comes without observation, what is now happening to you that are part of this and some that are listening to this elsewhere is a phenomenal thing. I heard last Sunday morning some of the most phenomenal testimonies that I've ever heard. Unbelievable testimonies. And I thought, maybe it comes without observation, but I think I'm beginning to observe it. I'm beginning to see something, a transformation that's taken place in people. Do you know why? Because they're doing what Smith Wigglesworth did. They're isolating themselves to this. Do you know what this is? This is a word that without beginning and without end. Why? Because the Old Testament, the Bible tells us in Hebrews, it says that God spoke to the fathers through the prophets. Define him, Corky? God spoke to the fathers through the prophets. In these last days, God has spoken to us through His Son. Do you know what I'm saying? So who wrote this? And any of these words then, God is the one that authored this, that God is the one that set it up. So that means that this thing is as eternal as God is. And that's why Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass away, but this word will never pass away. Why? Because it is of the same nature and substance and content as God is Himself. Do you follow what I'm saying? It's of the same nature. That's what this is. Every so often I have a strange thing happen. I had a scripture verse, and I kind of had an idea what it said, and I said, I read it, and it's Acts 1:8. And it says, you shall receive power. Jesus said, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. You know what? I didn't really get the impact until Ken fed it back to me. And that's what this is all about. Ken got an understanding of it, and then when he came back and he started to share it, I got it. You know, I really was not understanding that, and I still don't, basically. But the power that God wants through the infilling of the Holy Spirit is not for the signs that follow, although that's fine. He said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. The power is to witness. I saw that in a measure in the very beginning. The signs, the healings and things, they followed. But we saw major, major things happen in the witness realm. You know what's coming? There's a difference that's happened. Something's happening to us. And I can feel the authority and the something. You don't kowtow to the demon spirits that try to argue or whatever. I don't know that in the first years when we saw lots of people saved, I don't know that I was ever in an argument. I don't remember ever arguing. I'm not an argumentative person, so I don't think I was ever in an argument with anybody. It's like the power of God was on us. We witnessed to people, and they said, yeah, it makes sense to me, and people were saved, and you know, things happened, and that's where you're headed. And I got it, Ken. As you fed it back, I started to get it. I thought, of course. Of course. You know, Jesus said that we are, that people, you know, are slow of heart to believe. And I'd like to say we're slow of heart to understand. That's line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, and you know what? It says, but they would not understand. And I'm saying, but if our heart is right, we will understand.
Just had a little emphasis come on that. That so if you only listen to the Word of God, and you don't listen to any other preaching, teaching, what have you missed out on? A lot of confusion. You know, it's people think that well, how could it? And you know what? Us being up here, I was reading that again when he says, you know, he gave prophets, apostles, teachers to do what? To point you to what is true. Not to teach you in themselves what is true. You know, these things that we're sharing, it's to show a testimony that it's happening. But you can't go living on that. That is not your salvation. Your salvation is going there yourself. And I just love that story of the Samaritan woman. Because at the end, those men said, now we don't believe because you told us, because we heard it ourselves. And if that's the whole key, right? If you don't get to that point, you're not going to get what God wants to give you. I mean, so, you know, it's the teachers and everything else. It's to give illustration. It's to maybe invoke you to go to this Word that we were invoked to go to whatever extent, and whoever else is being invoked throughout the world, because I'm sure many more are, at different stages maybe, whatever, who cares? God knows, and He's doing it. We need to be concerned, right, what is He doing with us, you know? And you know, and then I was thinking again about the gift of the Holy Spirit. It says, a gift of the Holy Spirit. Who does the gift come from? God. You know what registered with me when I first, someone said, you need to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I started thinking, first I started thinking, yeah, it'd be cool, I'm speaking in another language, all this. Then I got brought up short, and it said, it's a gift from God. Why wouldn't I want a gift from God? And I've said this before, but I'm going to repeat it. Men have said, oh yeah, but God has given me so much already. I don't need that. That is self-ultimate righteousness. That you could stand before the Creator who created you and tell Him you don't need His gift. See, if you think of it in that context, it's a lot different. But He says, it's up to you. You don't have to. But I have a gift for you. And why is that gift important? Do you think you need to be edified more than you are today? I certainly do. Do you know that's one of the promises of that gift? That you can pray in this language, in private, which is edifying for you. I need to be edified all I can. And if I think I don't, that's that self-righteousness sneaking in again. You know? That's saying I'm not really needy, I'm not sick. And who did Jesus say I come? I don't come to you who think you're healthy. I come to those who know they are sick and needy. You know? So, and you know, it's... And you know what? I was like Simon. Remember Simon, the guy that was kind of the sorcerer, and he everyone said, oh, this man has the gifts of God, or you know, of God. And then he heard Peter and them, or no, I don't know, it wasn't Peter probably who first preached to him, I don't think, and then came, maybe, I don't know. And he heard the message of salvation, and he repented and accepted that. And then all of a sudden when they came and, well, yeah, somebody came and then they said, well, have you received the gift of the Holy Spirit yet? No, and they prayed and they received it. And he saw it and he said, I want that. Only there was a little glitch. He didn't want it because it was a gift. He still had this wickedness in his heart that said, I could use that. You know, boy, that would show some people some power. You know what? When I first prayed for the gift of the Holy Spirit, that's exactly the spirit I was in. I wanted to show someone what I was going to get. I didn't get it. And I didn't get it, and I sat, and finally I remember people saying, well, if you don't receive it right away, maybe there's something, you know, that's standing in the way. Search your heart. And all this is because of him too, because conviction came, and I went, I was at my kitchen table at the time in the cities where I lived, and I just wept, I repented and said, Father, I'm so sorry. I wanted to show this off. That's not why I really want it in my heart. It's because it's your gift. May I have this? And in minutes, I had it. And so, you know, it's a gift. It's a glorious gift. Now, some of the church has received it and kind of flaunted it. You know, it should be respect. There has been so many times in the last maybe 5-6 years, I wanted to show someone what this gift was, and I just couldn't. Because it just didn't seem right. You know, just to, because it says it's supposed to be assigned to unbelievers, you know. But then it was just, no, I need to contain that, you know. It just wasn't right. So, you know, you have to be careful with it. It's a gift and you don't want to misuse it. And we in the church have misused it. I know. As I look back, and I'm not going to go into it now, maybe that's another message for later, but I believe God's going to clear, He's going to show exactly how we're supposed to be in order in all things eventually, but that isn't yet today. But so just have an open heart. You got nothing to lose other than your whole eternal life. That's all. I mean, so what? You know, I'll tell you, and I swear, I know it was something probably that God put there. I mean, I don't know how many times I would get in a little confrontation with my wife because she brought something up and I didn't like it, and I'd walk away. But I'd have to, and I was pretty much been saved most of our married life. In the first few years, we weren't. But and I'd go say to the Lord, and you know what? I just have to go, okay, am I really wrong? Yes, would be the answer. And then I'd go back to her and say, I know you wanted a correct response right away. I couldn't. But I went, and I went before the Lord, and I apologize. And you're right, or what, you know. I'm not afraid of losing faith if it means getting right. Losing face. You know, I've admitted to so many people didn't want to, but I knew I had to, that I was wrong. And, you know, it's done great things because of it.
Yes.
It's brought about change. And it's changed some people, you know. Because nobody nowadays ever wants to admit they're wrong. Kids don't want to admit they're ever wrong. I mean, it's a lot more now than it ever used to be. Because there's this independent spirit that everybody should be able to think exactly like they want, but we're all supposed to fit together, right? Right. You know, it's kind of that same, what's that term you always use? Unity through diversity. How in the world can you all be in unity if you're all told to think separately? And certain things, yes, you do have to have an own individuality. I mean, that's God gave us that. And I thought, you know, when I said, if you only listen to this, what are you missing out on? You know, and well, because people come and they show you how you could live better in your life. Really? Don't covet. Don't steal. Don't lie. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you fulfilled all of just those four, you would be way ahead of anybody in this world. You know? So do I need somebody else interpreting that? No. You know why? Because when God brings that, there's this little thing called conviction. That no other person... People do try to put conviction on other people. I've tried to put conviction on other people. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. God has to do it. And then when He does it, you know what? And I've noticed when He's convicted me, I get down and I go, God, He was so sweet about that. You know, He knew just how to present that to me at the right time for me to receive it. Is that a loving God? You know, that's our Father. Oh.
We kind of do have a Trinity, don't we? I waited.
You did not wait.
I waited.
Barely sat down.
Someone who had something urgent to say would have had time. Anyway, I'm here, so. I've done some thinking about that portion of Ephesians there, where it says He gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. First of all, it's a good point that in order to bring about the unity of faith, oh yeah, that really worked out. But above and beyond that, we don't know exactly what the church kind of structure was back at that time. I don't know that it, you know, it certainly would have been different than what things are today. A lot more informal, more whatever. And I think we latch onto that term prophets. We latch onto the word pastors. And we have designated the leader of a church as the pastor, you know? And we've given it meaning and so forth. But I don't know if that meaning that we've attached to it was necessarily on whatever that word was back at the time that Paul was writing. I don't know. They were, it's kind of another word for shepherd. We sort of say pastors are shepherding the people, but you know, what they're doing is they're head of the outfit is what they are. You know. Yeah, they're pastors. Yeah, but you know, it's, there is a word, and I haven't spent time studying it. After I retire, perhaps I can. But anyway, there is a word that they use for church oversight. You know, it's bishop. There's the bishop that they talk about in Timothy and maybe Titus. And it doesn't say, and he gave some prophets and evangelists and bishops. You know, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that that kind of, you know, church government thing. You know. No, it doesn't mean anything. That stuff means something. And yet, we are to be instructed. We are. It's clear that we are to be individually instructed by the Holy Spirit. Oh, excuse me. Gotta watch yourself on this platform. We are to be instructed by the in the Scripture by the Holy Spirit. Even though, you know, I remember there was trouble in the early church about waiting tables, and the Greeks didn't get as much food as the Hebrews did, and you know, and so they designated the deacons, you know, and the reason they designated those deacons is because they didn't want to be bothering the apostles who were busy studying in the Word. You know? Well, they were studying in the Word for some reason. There was some kind of specializing going on. So, you know, it's not a black and white, simple issue. And yet, we must not surrender the idea that, yeah, no. The Holy Spirit's going to instruct you. It's going to instruct you. It's not that you can count on your leadership to keep you in line. The Holy Spirit's got to instruct you, or fail to.
I'm ex-Catholic, so I can say this. I was just looking for the sacramental wine. Couple things. Just sound bites. So what's the difference between conviction and condemnation? God. Men condemn you. God brings conviction. The other thing is people have been sharing, and it's been... the hits keep on coming. Today's been really good. With me is, and I've shared this before, so it's about the work. I wasn't willing to do the work until God showed me that I can't slide in on anybody else's coattails. I have to do the work. And I'm, as my wife can attest, I'm not doing as much as I need to be doing. No. But God is good. He is doing things in my life and is distracting me from being more into the Word with other things. But I'm continually looking for Him to change me, continually challenging myself to keep my heart open so He can change me. It's very easy to get distracted by the world. This last week was a great tester for those of you who might have stopped paying attention to the Scriptures and poked your head up to watch the world collapsing around you, only not to collapse. God is good. I guess my testimony today is just that if we keep seeking, if we keep waiting on Him, and if we keep letting Him direct us instead of us trying to get in front of Him, we'll get where we want to go. It is so... We try, I think, too much to fill in gaps. Because we are trying to save face. We're in those situations where people are asking us questions and, you know, we kind of put forth a position or an aura or a stance about we're pretty well grounded. We're kind of digging hard and fast. And so when you get asked questions, the phrase, I got nothing, doesn't really do well in the setting. But you know, that's exactly the response we need to be willing to give. I don't know why this. And you want to be careful to say, because God hasn't revealed it to me yet, because that causes another problem. But that is exactly the situation you're in. I don't know so many things. And if I can keep myself focused on the fact that I got a ways to go, then I make myself that clay that God can do something with. It is really hard to get past the natural, to look past your imperfections, to say that I can be, you know, through the sun, I can be like God. Because the natural mind gets around that just for a second and goes, I'm not worthy. But as it's been shared today, you don't get to judge that. He judges that. And if you just stay out of the way and let him do it. Oh, so many things go so much better. So many things go so much better. I keep telling myself, I just have to be happy with where I'm at, because where I'm at is where God wants me to be. As long as I'm seeking him. I can't go on sabbatical. I mean, I can't check out and say, God's got me right where I want to be doing nothing. No, that's not right. You got to do the work. You got to be looking for him constantly so he can find you. He can meet you. I don't know. I'll share this. I've had this expression that kind of runs around in my mind. You know, faith. You have to exhibit a little bit of faith in order to receive it. You have to go out and meet where you think God is, and God will find you. You just can't sit back and be passive, because I don't think he works that way. I think he wants to see you, and this is my opinion. I'm open to correction. But I don't believe you just exist and it happens. Not at all challenging the comment that God can do whatever he wants. He can. I think that's just really playing Russian roulette and with your salvation. I think you have to do the work and let God bless you and show you and bring you forward.
Well, a number of people have commented on the fourth chapter of Ephesians, so I think I'll take a try at it. It says in the fourth chapter, it says that when he ascended on high, he gave gifts. He gave gifts. He gave apostles and prophets, evangelists and pastors and teachers. What we don't recognize is that there's a reason. So, what are the reasons? And it tells us, okay, now do they do this function? Are they meeting their obligations? For a unity of the faith, unity of the Spirit, verse 15, he gave these gifts so that all men would speak the truth in love. Why? So that we can grow up into him who is the head. And if we don't speak the truth in love, are we going to do that? Do you follow me? But what if we don't know the truth? Then comes a stickler. We become like little children and we receive a love for it. And that is what is happening in this church. That's what's happening to me. I don't care who I am. I don't care if I'm even on that list. That doesn't matter. I might even be offended if he referred to me as bishop. Sure.
And you don't have to go, though. It's quick, just something you said.
Okay.
It struck me in that scripture scene. I think the emphasis was on the wrong syllable there. You want to speak truth in love. How many people have brought truth from a position of, I know more than you do?
Yeah.
I mean, especially those of us who might have been around here a while. If you think about it, there's a sin there.
Yeah.
You have to bring truth in love.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. And the reason, of course, again, in verse 15, is so that we grow up into Christ. And if we're not in speaking love, if we're not in love, Jesus says, tells us in John 18, he says, I was born and I was sent to bear witness to the truth. And I got thinking about here this recently. I thought, you know, they said when, you know, Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit has come, he will lead and guide you into all truth. Is that an important issue then? So what is happening to you and me? What's happening to us in this church? We're starting to receive a love for the truth. And I appreciate what Ken had to say. You know, it's like, what do you do when you realize that you're off track? Apologize. Repent. We were going through that move that took place. We were going backwards so fast. And I, you know what, I have apologized to whosoever I could for my part in it. And I think that was the stupidest thing that, and how we were foolish enough to even fall prey to the thing, I don't know. The dumbest thing ever, unscriptural as it can get. But you know what? God has had mercy.
Amen.
He's had mercy on us. So anyway, anybody else have anything? Otherwise we'll come up and we'll pray. Some people pray, we'll pray. Come on up. That's what from some of the southern lands they say, why don't we pray?